Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are very thankful to be here. We're thankful for the place you've given us, Lord, where we can gather. Lord, a place to where we can have it dedicated, Lord, to you, Lord, where you could come and visit with us, Lord, and bring your word and open it to us. And I pray this morning, Lord, may you touch and bless your people. You know their hearts, their souls, and their minds. I pray, dear God, that you will, Lord, today uplift them, God. Increase their faith, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to continue speaking on the purpose of angels. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 1, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. You may be seated. So, the angels... First of all, the first verse kind of shows you positionally where you are in comparison to the angels. Because what he has said to us, he's never said to the angels. And secondly, there are ministering spirits that come to minister to the body, them who are heirs of salvation, the scripture says. But who would evil angels minister to? People that would accept them. I believe that this age that we live in, there's been a greater awakening to the realm of the supernatural than in any other age previously. I believe that, Moses had a great ministry, Peter had a great ministry, Paul had a great ministry. But I believe that the Lord allowed Brother Branham to be able to see into that realm in a greater way than what had ever been to any messenger before him or thereafter. And I believe the reason for that wasn't to make Brother Branham something, but it was for the bride of this end time age. Because there's been a greater loosening of demons in this age than any other age. And so I believe that there was a purpose behind it, and I believe that, we may not experience it to the realm that Brother Branham did, but I believe that that we do benefit from this realm, and we do benefit from knowing that the realm is there, that it exists. In Angel and the Commission, I want to read something to you here. It says, and notice I was laying there, I was awake up all at once, and I looked and I thought, my, it's daylight already. I said, looky there, it's daylight there, look out. I thought, wait a minute, the window's back here, that's the side of the wall. And I looked again and it was a white cloud milling like this, and I said, oh, I see. It was an angel of the Lord coming into the room. Many times demons has followed me then. I felt their flesh rubbing me and bells and things when they haunted me half the night nearly. Think about that. He spoke in other places where he said what these demons were ones he had cast out of people. And for where that had been anointing them for sickness or whatever it was. And then these demons would go and haunt Brother Branham. And I remember one time in when not long after I'd first come here, and I was staying with Brother Phil over there by close to Charlotte, and one night, one Sunday night after I'd preached, why there was something that I couldn't explain come to me that night in that room. And I was up and down all night, and when that thing would come on me, and it was just like a great fear trying to come down over me. And I'd get up and prayed, and in the morning, the Lord just touched my heart and said, "You just wrestled with the Prince of Dixon." And those realms are real. And but here in the message of the Absolute, Brother Branham said, "The morning before, that was a hideous thing standing there at the bed accusing me. Looked like it was alley-oop in the funny paper. Big, great, big horn sticking out of it. He was going, sounded like a hen cackling and singing like they're going from the barn. I looked at it, and I said, 'Meaty, meaty, honey.' And she didn't wake up, and I thought that'd scare her to death. And I waited there just a minute, standing and watch. People talk about devils and don't even know what they are sometimes. That's right, but you run headlong into them every day. After a while, he was accusing me, 'You have no power with God. You're just a bluff. You have no power.' And I said, 'Satan, you are an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ.' And he left. I lay there a little bit, and over in the corner, here's my Bible over my heart. The sweetest voice I ever heard in my life said, 'Don't fear to go anywhere. Don't fear to do anything, for the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go.' That settled it with me. Let them rage. I got an absolute. My anchor holds yonder, because it's the word of the living God." So here, there was a demon, what it was, an evil angel come, and was there to try to make him doubt. And that's one of the things that evil angels do, try to come and make you doubt. And, you know, this is a thing you need to be aware of. If God's led you to be here in this church, and God led me to move and leave everything I had and come here. And if you believe God has anointed me to be pastor of this church, then you believe that I would never harm you. I would never mean you no harm. So when something comes to you telling you something otherwise than that, then that's an evil angel, because I would never do anything to harm you. Amen. Now, we're not able to deal with it in a degree the prophet dealt with it. And I'll be honest with you. When I was reading these things, I thought, well, I'm kind of glad I don't wake up and see something standing at the foot of my bed. I don't have that gift like Brother Branham had. I don't want to see them things. But in the same instance, you know, maybe we may never in this life actually visually see an angel, but it doesn't mean that we're not influenced and affected by the angels. Just as much as the evil angels or the demons would try to influence or affect people. I think whenever you hear people saying, "Well, I saw this," and "I saw that," "I saw an angel," I think look at what the gift of God that was given to them in their life, and then look at what they're saying they saw, and if it don't tally up, then it was just their imagination. And because God don't just give that gift to be able to look into that realm just willy-nilly just to anybody. And I believe that we had a prophet come in this day, and God saw a need for him to be able to go into that realm of the supernatural and tell us about it. So I don't think there's any need for that type of ministry again. In Revelation's Book of Symbols, he says, "Angelic beings associate together." Well, I hope you get that. Just drop right down there, free. Look, if you're got the Holy Spirit in you, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. No wonder people can't believe in those things. They've never come in contact. They got nothing in here to believe with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into heart, quickly he becomes a twofold being, one of the earth to die and one of heaven to live. Amen. And in his body, he's still subject to death, but in his soul, he passed from death into life. In his body, he has an earthly contact with his five senses. In his spirit, he has a contact with God through the Holy Ghost, and the angels of God visit them and speak with them, and they are messengers sent from God to reveal and bring messages from God to the individual. So when you receive a soul change inside of you, then you become a candidate for association with the angelic realm. You won't sit down and eat breakfast with them, no doubt. They're not going to catch you up into a cloud, no doubt, because there's no need for it. But remember the scripture that I did read to you. It says to be careful entertaining strangers, because many have entertained angels unawares. So you could receive a visitation like that. And even with that, I don't think it would just be something that, I think there would be a reason for it. It wouldn't just be just something to fill a space of time. I believe there'd be, if it happened, there'd be a reason for it in your life. So he says, after receiving the Holy Ghost, you become a twofold being, and angels visit you and speak with you. Well, I believe that. The Bible testifies of it. The prophet said it, and I believe it. And at thy word, Lord, Brother Branham says, I believe that even the Holy Spirit and angels are all just attributes of God. It's just part of God. It's his makeup. Now, looking at a difference in administration, we look at the Holy Spirit living inside you, and people will quote the scripture and say that the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, and that is correct. But if just your portion of the Holy Spirit in you could do that all on its own, then you wouldn't need a preacher. You wouldn't need to go to church. You wouldn't need any, you know, you wouldn't need to actually even associate with other brothers and sisters who also have the Holy Spirit. There'd be no need together if that's all it took. But God has different administrations that he works through. And Brother Branham said in one place, said, this, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, he said, then it will agree with the word when the word is preached. We know that when, speaking of the Holy Ghost, when Jesus, we know he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but when they gathered in the upper room and they were waiting to be endued with power from on high, that pillar of fire divided itself up and appeared as cloven tongues of fire over the top of each one of them. Now, that was a thing that that was wrote there in the book of Acts. It was something that from the supernatural realm that was actually witnessed. I believe the same thing happens when a child of God today is filled with the Holy Ghost. We just aren't seeing into that realm to see that cloven tongue of fire come down. But it still happens. And be not afraid, Brother Bram said, Jesus was God made flesh, the fullness of God was in him. He had the Spirit without measure. We have it by measure. Now, what if you go out here and pick up a spoonful of water out of the ocean? Well, that is what Jesus had, the whole ocean. But you and I got a spoonful. That's the difference. You never, he don't have to have us, but we have to have him. But if you took that spoonful of water, took it down to the laboratory, the same chemicals that's in the entire ocean is in that spoonful. And when God on the day of Pentecost come down like a rushing wind, did you notice he was a pillar of fire? But did you notice he separated himself from that pillar of fire, divided himself among his people, and clothed in tongues of fire set upon each of them? God separated himself to his church. No wonder he spoke, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. If two will agree upon anything and ask, I'll give it to you. What is that? When the little fire here and a little fire there, each of you is a part of God. And when you come together, it's the body of Christ uniting. God separating himself, giving part to me and part to you and part to the next fellow, so we can all come and live and have eternal life. And he says, but when we gather, come together, that's the uniting of the body of Christ. So you bring your spoonful, I'll bring my spoonful, Brother Phil bring his, Brother Todd, and so on. And when we get here, why, we'll have a whole lot more than a spoonful. Now, as far as the Spirit of Truth leading you into all truth, it does do that, but not just your personal allotment of the Holy Spirit. It works through other gifts in the body. God sent a prophet, and the prophet, there were things about him and things in his ministry that a pastor could never touch. God sends us pastors, and there's things that the pastor brings to the body that none of the other of the fivefold ministry could do. Same thing with the others of the fivefold ministry. They each have a part. That's why we have other ministers come through. We need that. We need that because it's all part of that fivefold ministry that was given to minister to the body of believers. So there again, not just one man. And I feel sorry for people who believe they're following a man and believe, well, it's just one man. I feel sorry for them because they're missing out. Now, as I've said, talking about these different administrations of God working through the body, the angels of God from that realm could affect and touch you in a way that your pastor couldn't. You understand that? Angels could touch you, move on you in ways that members of the fivefold ministry couldn't do. I can't go with you everywhere. I can't go and watch over you everywhere. But they do. Brother Bram says, and at that word, he says, his makeup, it's part of that went off his spirit and so forth. He created to be his helpers around his great office of glory. And I believe they're just like secretaries and so forth to help carry on the master's work. And they come to earth for us earthly people. He says in Children of the Wilderness that I pray for the people. They go away and they believe. They get well. If that faith and that prayer is said for that person, if they'll believe it, the angels of God will watch over that person. They'll have to get well, maybe not that hour, maybe not that week, maybe not that month. It may be 6 weeks before they're well. But they will get well. They've got to get well. So Brother Branham could pray the prayer of faith, But he couldn't go to each person's house and break into that realm of the supernatural and watch over that person to bring the word to pass. God has his angels for that purpose. The pastor couldn't do that. Your daddy couldn't do it. Your mommy couldn't do it. But angels of God is who they're, one of the things they were created for was to watch over God's children and to be, as the Bible says, ministering spirits unto the children of God. Just like when a prayer is prayed here over somebody, maybe they're sick, and or it may be who several of them prayed for. And then as you go in a realm that you can't see, God dispatches angels to go with you after you've been prayed for, to watch over you, to bring that word to pass. Now, it doesn't mean that a spirit of doubt won't come and try to get you to doubt it, but just don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Anytime something comes to try to bring doubt to you, know this, it's not an angel of God, it's a demon. And when you can see that they come to bring discouragement, they come to bring doubt, they come to cause you nervousness, they come, see, those are the things that they're trying to do. But that's not the angels of God, but you've got angels of God around you. And if you'll just believe, then they'll be able to dispatch it the way those evil spirits that are trying to haunt you. All the days of our lives, Brother Branham says in a prayer, he was praying, he said, when these cloths are laid upon people or the anointing oil dropped upon the sick, may immediately the angels of God stand near to minister to them the blessings of the covenant of Jesus Christ made with the sick. Again, in Jesus Christ the same, he says, may angels of God just hover over, as it was, the audience, day after day, night after night, until there will be not be a sick or feeble person in our midst. Notice this here, this Brother Ram speaking about God sending an angel to someone's house. He says, "O Lord, while they were praying in the house of John Mark, there was an angel came down into the prison house where Peter was in bondage, and there opened the doors, mysteriously let him out. O Lord, thou art still God. Those angels are at your command this morning. We pray, Lord, that while we're praying here in the house of God, that the angels will go down to Brother Robertson's house. His desire is to be in his place here, but affliction has held him down. And may the angels of God deliver him, make him well, so he can take his place again at the house of God." This, we know this end time message was sent to take our hearts and turn it back to the original faith of the apostolic fathers. So what we're talking about here is not praying to angels. But what we're doing is we pray to the office of the manager. And he dispatches his secretaries. So it's not praying to angels. We pray to God. It's up to God. He's the one who sends the angels to bring, as much just like he did Daniel, after Daniel had prayed 21 days, then the angel got to him and said, "I, God heard you on the very first day, but said I was beset by the prince of Persia, and I had to call for the angel Michael to come down and to fight for me so that I could get through to you." In the midst of experiences, he says, "Father, may the Holy Spirit come near. May that same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel move down settle around the holy place, this pulpit. May your angels of God take their positions and places positionally out among the people, speaking in their hearts, getting them ready, getting them to believe and take away all unbelief. In a message of thirsting for life, Brother Rem said, you and I, if someone wouldn't take our word, that would settle it. But that isn't our Lord. He sends us teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, gifts into the church. So he gives signs and wonders. Why? So that you and I can get it. He wants you to get it. And God don't say, well, I've sent them pastors and I've sent them teachers and evangelists. They listen to tapes and they still ain't getting it. I quit. That ain't what God does. That's not in his nature. But if you're a child of God, God will keep on bringing it. Whether it's the pastor preaching the same message for 5 weeks in a row, hounding on the same thing, or whether it's you constantly facing something, you think, well, why in the world I keep facing this thing? Because you've got to pass the test, that's why. He wants you to get it. We can't be of the mind like this. Well, I went through it one time and I got a C. That ought to pass me. Nope, you got to get an A. And until you do, you'll keep facing it. So God will even dispatch angels. Brother Ram said, if it was you and I and they wouldn't take our word the first time, that'd be it. But not with God. Even after God dispatches pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets, and so on, and works through these different realms, and then of administration, then he'll go into the other realm and send angels down to minister to you. Now, they don't take up a Bible and quotes and minister in that way. But what they do is they are there to try to move you toward believing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham says, now we dedicate ourselves to you tonight as your servants, ready for service, and God, give us an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in this grounds again, in this city. May the angels of God come down in this city and the cities around about throughout the country, visit homes and stir people. I pray you'll send the Holy Spirit, the immortal angels from the celestial realms of glory. May they take their positions tonight at every row in this building, in the balcony, on the floor, on the platform. May they speak to people's hearts as a messengers, ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. He says here in the infallibility of God's word, he says, angels of God are with us to minister spiritual blessings to us and to help us along the road and to encourage us as we see the hill of Zion yonder in sight. Now, as I said, on the other side, there's evil spirits. They're trying to minister doubt to you. They're trying to bring discouragement. They're trying to get you down, get you depressed. Try to tell you God don't love you. You're not one of his. And they're sent from Satan to anoint you with disbelief. And they're sent to pull your faith away from the promise of God. Sometimes they'll anoint people to feel sorry for themselves. Well, nobody cares for you. Nobody loves you in that church. They don't care whether you're there or not. See, it's a spirit come and try to make you feel sorry for yourself. I'll tell you this. Brother Branham said in another place, God isn't raising hot house plants. You know what that is? You know how you get tomatoes in the wintertime? because they've got these hothouses. One thing he called them, it's these places where it's, what are they called? Greenhouse, where they can raise those plants in there under artificial light and bring them forth. Well, they need special attention. They got to be cared for and everything else, just special attention. Whereas you plant them out and plant out real seeds out into a garden and tomato plants come up, well, you might have to hoe around them a little bit, keep the weeds away. But other than that, them things are going to grow and they're going to produce tomatoes. You don't got to go out there and make sure they're getting enough sunlight. You don't got to go out there and baby them or whatever. And that's the way God has his people. God doesn't have hothouse Christians. Ones that's got to be babied and babied along and extra special care and all this and the other. God wants you to grow up. Paul says, you know, that he had meat to minister to him. He says, but you're still drinking milk. God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. He's give us. You know, people say, well, Pastor, I don't know the last time he's even been to my house. When's the last time an angel's been to your house? You see, if God sends them, wouldn't that be greater? I can't make it to everybody. That's why God has these ministering angels, because they can. When you're prayed for here, like I said, they're dispatched to go with you. If you're going on a trip, and you pray and ask God to go with you and go before you, there's angels of God accompany you on that trip and keep you safe. I believe in praying before you go anywhere or do anything. I believe when I'm getting ready to go on vacation, the thing I need to do is pray before I start down the road. Because I don't know who else is out there driving, you know. I know that I can make mistakes. But goodness sakes, there's some people out there that I don't know where they even got their license from. And, you know, God's got to watch over you. Amen. Remember one time Brother Dan Daisley talking about that realm. And he said that he was going to different churches ministering. He was out traveling. And he was by himself. And he said that something came to him there in the car and kept trying to make him feel bad and trying to make him feel like nobody cared for him and trying to make him feel unloved. And he said it just kept on. He said for several miles, he said after a while, I pulled the car off the road, went over to the passenger side, opened the door and said, devil, get out of here. I'm tired of you riding with me. He said he literally done that. So, you know, remember that and realize that those realms exist. May the angels of God, he says here in Manifestation of the Resurrection, he said, may the angels of God descend from heaven and take their places at every bench tonight. It says, wouldn't you like to live where you're conscious that unseen world's right with you all the time? To realize when you walk out here and get in your car, angels take their position to the side of you. When you walk up yonder to the man so unlovingly to you, the Holy Spirit standing right above you and the angels all around you. The Bible says so. The angels of God are encamped about those. They don't go back to heaven, they camp there. They're sent on missions to watch you through life's journey. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Outside of being let's think about this with angels now. Outside of them being assigned to be right there at the throne of God, where would be the next greatest place for them to have a mission or an assignment? To the bride. To the body of Christ. Because that's how important you are to God. Oh, my friends, look, We're so pitifully weak in this flesh we have. But yet, realize this, as Brother Branham said, you're a twofold being. And though in this flesh, he says that's a part of the earth to die, but there's something in you of heaven to live. And though we may just seem like a weak pile of flesh, but yet there's a strength. All you got to do is just reach out to God. And not only is God there to deliver you, but God's there to send angels to watch over you and to keep you. Listen, Satan comes and tries to make you think you're worthless. He comes and tries to make you think you're weak. You can't do it. But God, realize this. God has given even a realm of the supernatural to minister to you in order that you can do it. And what do you say? Well, then what do I got to do? Believe it. And quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to those demons that come and try to get you down. Quit listening to them. Now, the angels ain't just here on Thursday night and Sunday morning. They're with you 24 hours. They're everywhere you go. They see everything that goes on. They know everything you do. The angels are there. They can see something coming your way quicker than what you would see it. I wonder sometimes when we have our services, and angels come and gather down and they take their seats. And I wonder what they think of our services. As the words being ministered, the mind of God being ministered across the pulpit, what's on God's mind, what his thoughts, and the angels sitting there and beholding that. I wonder about when the seals were being opened and the angels had gathered around there and they were sitting there with awe, the things that had been hidden. Those seals that had been hidden, that John wrote them down in symbols and types. But now they were being revealed what they were. You imagine those angels. We ourselves look in awe. Imagine those angels also do. I believe they count it a great privilege that God has committed them to his bride. Listen to this, and Water from the Rock said, send your angels tonight. May they take their position at every seat and speak to the unsaved. Here he says, in infallibility of God's word, he says, let the angels of God go down to that poor lost backslider tonight and pick him up that's on the road. He says, tonight, after the most lovely music has been played and the songs have been sung, and now we shall bring the word, and then may the battle be on. We pray, O God, that the angels of God will take their positions in every corner, in every aisle, at every seat in the building. May there be such an old-time conviction. If we could just see what goes on in that other realm. There is times when you come and sit in church, and because you've been listening to doubt, we're human, then that spirit that's trying to bring doubt, it comes along with you. and it keeps trying to administer doubt or discouragement to you or unbelief, even while you're sitting here. But there is angels that's been dispatched. And as the word's preached, and we pray over these things before we even undertake it, then as the word is preached, as you begin to believe, that devil begins to lose ground, that demon. And as he'll begin to lose ground, because there's an angel standing on the other side of you that begins to talk to you and tell you just the opposite of what that demon's been telling you. We have to even watch what voices are speaking to us during the service. Would it be an angel of God if you heard a voice just saying, well, that's just Brother Jerry. He's just saying that because it's his family. Would that be an angel of God? No, it sure definitely would not be. So why do you believe it? Don't believe that thing. Angels of God, he says in Mighty Conqueror, in their position in the building night, speaking to the hearts of people. Identified Christ of all ages, he says, we pray, Father, the angels of God will stand at every door, at every line of seat, at every seat, and will convict sinners that they're wrong, and may they accept the Lord Jesus then. I like this here where he says infallibility of God's word. He says, we may have our ups and downs along. That's true enough. Sickness and troubles. And remember, there's a great company of angels along the road to bear thee up at any time. Taking you on up when you fall. Oh, yes, he's there. He promised it. Now, angels have been dispatched to you. And when they see you fall, they don't look there and say, shame, shame, shame. I can't believe after all God's give him and him fall like this. No, they're there to bear you up. They're not the accuser of the brethren. That's the devil. Oh, I love that. So they're not just assigned to you when you're feeling strong and feeling good, but even when you're feeling down, even when you're feeling depressed, there's angels there to minister to you just like they did Elijah. He says here, this is again the same message, infallibility of God's word. He says, and if along the road something is done, testing and trying your child training as you go along, remember his angels will bear you up. Angels to comfort you. Angels to give you faith. Angels to move you along. God's got a host of angels up and down the ladder. I thought faith comes by hearing of the word. But remember, we're talking two realms. In this realm, faith cometh by hearing of the word. In that supernatural realm, angels can anoint you with faith. It's good to have both realms. Brother Branham here in Sin of Unbelief, he says, he was humming, my faith looks up to thee. And then he says, Lord God, as the music is sweetly going out and people humming this gracious old song that our fathers sang years ago, that's done gone up to glory and in your presence, let the angels take their positions, their places tonight along the lines of the people and help us now to recognize your omnipotence and the presence of the Holy Spirit and grant us, Lord, our desire in our heart. It says in tested faith produces, he says, and Lord, as we have tonight gathered here in this building on the Sabbath evening, we ask that you would give us special blessing tonight, that you would send the angels from heaven, that they might take their positions at every aisle, at every row, and may they minister thy word, Lord, to the hearts of the people. Now, how do they minister to you? Like I said, they don't take up the Bible in quotes. What they do is they take the word in a supernatural realm and are able to convey it to you in that, from that realm. Balm in Gilead, Brother Bram says, our beloved brother Joseph, who leaves us now for the foreign fields, let the angels of the Lord go with him and instruct him and make his path clear before him, that he will not walk and stumble, but the hand of God will be with him to uphold him. So here, like I had mentioned earlier, when you're getting ready to go on a trip, and sometimes, you know, how many times y'all have witnessed when you was getting ready maybe to go in for a procedure with the doctor, an operation or some kind of surgery or some kind of procedure you're going to do, and how many times have you come up here before that to be prayed for that before you go? Well, then when you do that, then the angels of God are sent there with you. And when you maybe perhaps go into that operating room or the doctor's office where they're going to perform the procedure, wherever it's at, there's angels there to minister to you and to watch over and even guide those doctor's hands. An angel standing beside your anesthesiologist. Tap him on the shoulder. Nah, pay attention to this right here. Yes, sir. They go with you. Amen. I believe that. He says here, and hear ye him. He says, the angels are encamped, not going back and forth, but they're encamped about those who fear him. He said the angels are watching over us day and night. They never leave. They're encamped about. We can expect God to do most anything because of the presence of the angels of God who are commissioned by him to watch over us and care for us. So they don't just come and then leave. And come and leave. But they're encamped about those. And then God will even dispatch angels, like I said, to go with you when you're going for surgery or going on a trip or whatever. All right, I need to move along here, but I got one last place I want to read in the scripture, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is arisen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was with you yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day raise again. And they remembered his words. Now, who was these two men standing there in shining garments? It was angels. Now, notice this. The angels says, remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee? How would the angels know what he said to them when they were in Galilee? Because they had been there. They were there too. And here they are bringing back to the remembrance of his disciples what Jesus had said. There is angels that gather in our services. And something is preached, it may be for something for you that's immediate. Or it could be preparation for something that you ain't going to even see till 3 days down the road. Or whatever. But then 3 days down the road when you're facing it, the angels of God can say, yeah, but didn't you remember hearing what the pastor said just 3 days ago? And bring it back to your remembrance. Look, if I ask most of you what I preached on last Sunday, you know, of course you say, well, I believe it was the purpose of angels. Well, what part did I preach about the purpose of angels? See, it's hard for us as humans to bring and remember all that, but yet it's still there. It's still in your memory. It just needs something to trigger and bring it back to the foreground. And if you begin facing something, you say, well, I begin facing something and I didn't hear nothing like it. Then start praying. God, there must have been something said. There must have been something that was preached that would help me in this. Lord, have the angels to help me to remember what it is so I can make it through this. So I can get an A this time. Evidence of the resurrection, he says, here's another great significance to it, that these ones who told these disciples was at the grave, they must have been with him also in Galilee, for they knew what Jesus had told them before his crucifixion. Oh, what a blessed thing. You see, those disciples did not know those angels were there, but evidently they were there because they said, Did not he tell you this while he was at Galilee? And that fulfills the scripture said that the angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. He says, this is an evidence of the resurrection. And what a great thing that is known that tonight, right in this building, there is angels of God standing at attention. They know every word that we say and everything that we do. And here is the scriptural proof of it. Said, did not he tell you those things when he was yet in Galilee? Said, remember, he told you those things. That word, remember, that's a marvelous word. But remember. What a great thing it must be, a joy for those who are saved and can bring to face the facts, these angels who are in the building tonight, to bring to remembrance the great meetings and the great times and the great joys that we've had together. So why do you read all these things? Show you I ain't making it up. Now, as angels try to make you remember what God said, there's demons that try to make you forget what was said. I think what we need to do is be conscious that realm is there and become more conscious of who it is that's speaking to us. And as we become more conscious of that, the less effect that those demons that are trying to bring doubt and forgetfulness and all these things, the less effect they're going to have it'll begin less and less and less and less. And hallelujah, one day, we're going to have a new body and a new spirit. And we're going to live 1,000 years on this here earth in the millennium. And the devils and the demons will not have any effect on us at all. Only reason they can affect us right now is because we're living in this kind of flesh. Yeah. Now I want to close here, but there's one thing I want to get to you. Brother Branham was speaking in the message of the resurrection. He also spoke of an unchangeable word of God, and he was speaking about how many remembers an angel came to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And she had been barren, but an angel came and to their home and told them they were going to have a son. And Brother Branham said they were living real godly lives. And he said they were living, he said, like we would say today, being a good Christian. And he said, that angels were welcome and could come there. So I think about our homes. That how are we living? Is it an atmosphere where angels could feel welcome? What does feel more welcome in our homes? Listen, I'm not... All of a sudden, we turn real serious. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to make you more aware. Brother Branham says this in Mary's Belief. He said, I think the reason we don't see more of it than we do, we got our minds on too many other things. I think the angels would still appear to us if we'd only kept our minds upon them. But we're thinking about something else. And that's where we're going, a certain program we've got to look at or a certain shopping we got to do. But our scriptures tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. I read that and I think about something Brother Darrell Ward said one time when he was here. He said, now y'all stop shopping at Walmart while I'm preaching. He said, you'll be thinking about what you got to do, what you got to buy, or where you're going to go eat. He said, stop thinking about them things while I'm preaching. And that's what I thought of when I read this. Brother Bram said, if we keep our minds on him, keep our minds upon him. Because he says here about, don't think about a program you got to do or a certain shopping you got to do. He said, but just keep your mind upon him. And I believe we'll see more, feel more the supernatural in our midst as we do that here. I want this to be a church where the angels of God feel welcome. And I think Brother Branham says in Jehovah Jireh, he said we need to be living a kind of life that angels feel welcome around. Amen. Amen. As they come to instruments, God bless you. I know I was maybe just a wee bit longer than what I've been, but I still got you done in less than an hour. So God bless you.
Everyone stand. Sing Flow Through Me. Sing.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Thank you.
Thank you. Jesus draw me closer.
F.